You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome to your Canadiens Connection on Rocket Sports Radio. This premier hockey podcast featured at CanadiansConnection.fm brings you the latest news, in-depth analysis, and expert commentary about the NHL's most storied franchise, the Montreal Canadiens. Hosted by Rick Stevens and Amy Johnson. Our team of credentialed journalists provides behind-the-scenes insight on the Canadiens, designed to inform, entertain, and engage Habs fans around the globe. We are proud to be the trusted source for all things Habs for more than a decade. This is the Canadiens Connection Podcast. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of the Canadiens Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio, keeping you informed, engaged, and entertained. We're going to talk about the Montreal Canadiens today. There is a lot to get to, and I think you're going to want to get settled in for this one because there is a battle brewing. In fact, it's Montreal's net front battle. Why Dobesh has earned the crease. Oh yeah, we're going there. We're going to talk about it. We're gonna lay it all out. It's pretty exciting. But first, let's get some introductions out of the way. My name is Amy Johnson. I'm going to be your host for today's show. And this is episode 371 of the Canadiens Connection podcast. Every week here in the studio, I'm joined by my wonderful co-host, who is our founder and president at Rocket Sports. His name is Rick Stevens. And Rick.
Yeah.
Two things.
All right.
A, it's our last podcast before Halloween. Did you come in costume?
No. No, unless this is...
Are you handing out candy to your co-host? Today?
No, I'm not.
No. Oh, boy.
No, because everybody's grumbly in Montreal. Everybody's mad. Everybody's arguing. Everybody's upset. Everybody's, it's Montreal against the world. It's against the NHL, against referees, against, oh my God.
Yeah, you've got Refgate going on, as I like to call it. We've got Refgate going on. The rest of the league is like, oh, just be quiet, all of you Habs fans.
We're not in the giving mood right now.
And we have, is it giving goalie controversy? We're going to cover some stuff today.
And then there's...
We're going to stir the pot a little today.
Some excitement, too.
Well, there is.
I mean, with the Montreal Canadiens, but also, I don't know. Not anymore. I used to. I don't follow MLB too closely anymore, but pretty exciting to have the World Series back in Canada.
I tip my hat for all Toronto Blue Jays fans. We all know a number of weeks ago, I said that I didn't want to talk about how mad I was about how the Phillies exited the MLB playoffs. But I will say, since they were unkindly removed from the playoffs by the LA Dodgers, that I am a Toronto
in
Blue,
Blue
Jays
camp
fan.
Now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And their starting pitcher last night, young Mr. Trey, is practically a neighbor. Yeah. He went to school and grew up just about 45 minutes from where I live. So
it's a fascinating,
it's a local hero.
Fascinating story that he starts the season in single A ball and he ends up in the World Series.
Just ends up playing in the bigs in that same season, much less gets all the way through the playoffs and is the starting pitcher in game one of the World Series.
And Addison Barger, the first pinch hit grand slam home run in World Series history. The
crazy,
the 9-run sixth inning. It was pretty exciting. First time that the World Series has come to Canada since 1993, which that's relevant to Canadians fans. Does that mean? Does that?
Was there
mean,
something special that happened that year?
No, but does it mean that, you know, Blue Jays in the World Series, Canadians in the? No, I'm not even going to say it because we're still grumbly. We're still mad. We're still upset.
We're going to ground things in reality.
All I could think of this week was the sea was angry that day, my friends.
Oh boy, you know, here
the
we
old
go.
Seinfeld reference.
Yes,
an old man trying to send back soup in a deli. That whole line, George Costanza. There's four people that know what I'm talking about.
All right, before this episode goes completely off the rails, before it's even begun, let's walk you through. No soup for you, by the way. Let's walk you through what to expect on today's show, aside from this whimsical banter that you're all enjoying very, very much. We're going to give you a quick recap of last week's games. There have been four of them since the last time we met here on Canadians Connection. So we're going to take you on a quick trip down memory lane to just recap how things went for the Habs this past week. Get you up to date on their injury report, because unfortunately, information still keeps getting added to the injury report. As well, we're going to, of course, take a stop on the Habs prospect report. We've got two Canadians prospects that we want to give you a highlight on to tell you how they're doing today. Plus, the Laval Rocket has had played three games this past week. Get you caught up on how the AHL club is faring, as well as a couple of general hockey headlines from around the NHL, that's all packaged into the first segment. Then in our second segment, that's when we're going to tackle the big topic for this week. And the title of the big topic is Montembeau's Struggles and Dobesh's Surge, What It Means for the Habs Net. And we're sorry to say, but there's no escaping it any further, any longer, that it is, at least in the sample size that we've had in the nine games that the Canadians have played so far this season, there has been one clearly superior goaltender and one clearly struggling goaltender. And it's probably not the ones that you would have thought of at the beginning of the season. So we're going to talk about how both netminders have fared and discuss a little bit of where things go from here, and what that could mean for the Habs, and what it, you know, might even offer what we think should happen. And I'm sure you're all going to have a lot of opinions on this topic, because this can be a sensitive topic for a lot of Habs fans. And so you can bet that our Canadians Connection question of the week is related to this topic, because we're going to want to hear what all of you think about what's going on in the crease for the Montreal Canadiens. And then finally, in our third segment, of course, we've got we're going to catch up on anything else you might have missed this past week. We're going to bring you some of the best responses to last week's Canadians Connection question of the week, preview the week ahead for Canadians hockey, and get you all set to come back and join us on next week's show. So we've got a lot to cover today. And, well, are the Blue Jays playing today again as well? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's a lot going on today, and there's a Habs game tonight as well. So lots happening. We'll get right to it. Looking back at what has happened this past week, going all the way back to last Saturday, a week ago, that was the New York Rangers visiting the Bell Center to play the Montreal Canadiens. This was, and you're going to know, we usually discuss when we do these recaps, we usually mention who was in goal for each game, but this week we're definitely going to be mentioning that because it's going to come into play in our big topic segment coming up soon. So lost this one to the Rangers 4-3. This was Montembeau in net for this game on home ice. Slavkovsky, Suzuki, and Dobson, the goal scorers. But, you know, maybe a little surprising for some people that the Canadians dropped this one to the New York Rangers.
Yeah, the Canadians got off to a good start. 2 goals early in the first period, within the first 5 minutes. Juraj Slafkovský, his second goal of the season. It was the start of really a pretty good week for him. On the power play, Nick Suzuki was next. His first goal of the season. Nice setup from Demidov and Gallagher. And then the third Montreal Canadiens goal didn't come till the third period. That was Noah Dobson getting his first of the season. In between time, the New York Rangers scored four unanswered goals. And the only controversy really in this game was whether Montembeau had given up 2 bad goals or 3 bad goals. We had a bit of a discussion about that in our Rocket Sports Slack group. At least 2 bad goals. He ended up, mm-hmm. he only faced 22 shots, only made 18 saves, 818 save percentage in this one.
Fast forward then to Monday night. Remember, since they started the Western road trip, their game nights shifted, and Monday night was an Amazon Prime Canada game, which always happens on Monday nights. And so this was a feature between the Buffalo Sabres and the Montreal Canadiens, their final home game at the Bell Centre before their Western swing. This time it was Dobesh backstopping the Habs. He came up big in this one, and the Canadiens were able to keep the scoring going, and they defeated Buffalo 4-2, Buffalo continuing to struggle on the road.
Oliver Kapanen opened the scoring, his fourth of the season already, mm-hmm. and being assisted by Demidov and Newhook. That line has been great. Slafkovský, again, as I said, he had a good week, scored his third. Lane Hutson, his first of the season. And then Jake Evans with his first of the season in an empty net. But it was, the story was Jakub Dobesh faced 32 shots. He made 30 saves, 938 save percentage.
Then following that on Wednesday, it was the first game of the road trip, the Montreal visiting the Saddle Dome, going to Calgary. Now, this one started weird right out of the gate. There was something happened with the arena lights right after the anthems. And they couldn't get the arena lights to come back on. There's a big, long delay. Everyone's milling around on the ice waiting for the opening puck drop. It seemed to go on forever. I even commented, they're going to need to let these guys warm up again because this is dragging on and on and on. And then suddenly, okay, we're going to drop the puck even though the lights haven't come back on. And so, now, granted, it wasn't pitch black in the arena, but just imagine the broadcast lights not being on. Instead, it's just kind of the ambient pregame light that's on. And Rick, you could tell that Dustin Wolf in particular, I don't think, was very pleased about it on the first shift of the game.
Yeah, it's got to be tough. It had to be tough for the goaltenders. And listen, if you're watching the broadcast, it was a little deceiving because the cameras adjusted and brightened up the picture, mm-hmm. artificially. But when you see what it looked like in the arena, and there was lots of...
Like the handheld cameras in the corners.
But there was lots of social media that were sharing those pictures. It was dark. It was very dark there. The shadows were heavy. And I was a bit surprised that, yes, there was... You know, a 15-minute delay or so before they started, before they made the decision to go ahead. But then it took the lights, I don't know, 10 minutes to come up to, you know, Saddle Dome's old, Calgary's getting a new building. I guess they haven't upgraded to the LED lights, you know, not wanting to spend money on an old arena. But still, that was just awful. Mm-hmm. And listen, now maybe this is going to be controversial. I know that the Canadiens fans were upset with the NHL, in particular the officials in the Edmonton game. I was more upset with the NHL that they allowed this game to go forward. I was shocked to hear that they don't have anything to do with the decision. They don't step in to say, yes, the game's safe to play or it's not safe to play. They leave it up to the players and coaches to make that decision. And the referee goes around.
What do you guys think? You want to do it?
Yeah, in a canvas. And what are you going to say? No, I'm too much of a wimp to go ahead. And really dumb. It was, somebody could have been hurt. It's certainly not fair. It's not even. The conditions were terrible. Anyway, the Canadians... This game was closer than it should have been. Mm-hmm. Calgary's awful right now. They can't score. Dustin Wolf was very good. And Jakub Dobrysch was excellent. Jakub Dobrysch was the first star of the game. Dustin Wolf, the second star of the game. And both deservingly so. This game ended up 1-1 after 60 minutes, went to overtime, and it was... Ivan Demidov with an unbelievable setup left Mike Matheson with a tap in. Canadians win 2-1 in overtime.
And so, as you just mentioned, the next night was the second of the back-to-back, Montreal heading to Edmonton. Cue up, if we had the licensing to do it, cue up Prince's controversy, because boy, did this game devolve into a hot topic talking point for, you know, the rest of the week now. Montreal drop, there was plenty of scoring, wasn't much goaltending at either end of the ice. Montembeau was in net for this one, his first start this week. Montreal ultimately dropping this game to Edmonton 6-5 after having a two goal lead at one point in the game.
The momentum shifts in this game were unreal. Canadians open the scoring. The Oilers score 3, go up 3-1. The Canadians score 4, and go up 5-3. They had a 5-3 lead with about 9 minutes to go. And then the Oilers score 3 to take it 6-5. Now, fans will say, the Oilers were assisted by the officials. And listen, were there some questionable calls? Absolutely. And I think the most egregious was the boarding call to Slavkovsky. That was one that Gallagher said even the officials admitted they made a mistake on that one. Mm-hmm. But as it turned out, the Oilers didn't score on that power play with Slavkovsky in the box. It got ugly and there was... Josh Anderson got in trouble, and there was some question about why he was assessed an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. With the puck in the net, he fired it down the ice. There was a Mike Matheson penalty. Did Mike Matheson trip? Well, it was questionable. The Oilers were upset about the penalty on Darnell Nurse, kind of a soft call, cross-checking call. So that would kind of balanced out there, but Josh Anderson, the emotions were so high, he fired the puck down the ice, and it's speculated that he said something or tapped his stick on the ice, in essence, congratulating the referees for having a role in scoring the goal. The referees would have none of that, and I don't think they should either. You can't accuse the officials of being partisan on ice and expect to get nothing. Who knows what was said? We don't know what was said. But fans were upset about that. The team was upset about that. And it just got ugly. The Oilers scored twice on the power play to tie it. The winning goal, it was the killer. And I think that fans are going to focus on officiating. And as I said, there's good reason for that, but it shouldn't mask the reality that Sam Montembeau was awful in this game. And You know, he gave up six, and you debate the number that were bad goals. He's just he's really, really struggling. Had 29 shots, 23 saves, a 793 save percentage. And the Canadians, yeah, the Canadians kind of were all consumed by the officiating in this one.
So we've begun doing this season kind of our three stars of the week. Rick, I can't say that I disagree with the fact that you've got Jakub Dobiš at the top of your list.
Jakub Dobiš for sure was the Canadiens' first star for the week. He had two starts, two wins, 149 goals against, 957 save percentage in this past week. If you want to contrast that with Sam Montembeault, Montembeault also had two starts. He lost both of them, 512 goals against and an 804 save percentage.
Okay. You also have got in the second star position, Alex Newhook, who seems a bit rejuvenated.
Yeah, he's really fitting in. It's kind of a slow start, but he's fitting in with that line. That line, I said, was very successful. Newhook had two goals, three assists, 5 points, all even strength in four games this past week.
And coming in with a third star, Nick Suzuki.
5 points, four of them assists.
Just as a quick breakdown, again, we're going to get into these guys more in depth in the second segment, but just as a kind of a nice little neat package. So this week, Dobiš had two starts with two wins, a 1.49 goals against, and a 957 save percentage. Montembeault, on the other hand, had two starts since our last episode, and both of those were losses with a 512 goals against and an 804 save percentage.
And let me toss in a stick tap to Yaroslav Slefkovský. He had two goals in the week, was very involved. And after a little bit of a slow start, I think he's engaging much more this past week.
Wonderful. So through nine games played on the season, the Canadiens sit with a 6-3 record. That's 12 points and good enough for first in the Atlantic Division, seventh overall in the NHL. But don't get lulled into any kind of comfortability necessarily with that number, because those statistics come mostly from teams who really aren't, for lack of a better word, too difficult to play against.
Yeah, I think it's generally acknowledged that the Canadiens have an easy schedule to start the season against teams who made the playoffs last season. Canadiens are 0-2. That would be Edmonton and Toronto. Against the rest, they're 6-1. So credit to them for beating up on the teams that they should beat up. But the schedule's going to get a little tougher. What's been the difficulty? Second periods, Marty St. Louis has said it, have been their downfall so far. After good starts and good first periods, they tend to give back the momentum in the second period. Discipline has been an issue. And when you're taking penalties, you better have a good penalty kill, and they haven't so far. Penalty kill only at 75.9% efficiency. That's good for 18th in the league. What might be a little surprising is the power play hasn't been that good either. Only 22nd in the league. And Marty made a change, dropping Bolduc to the second unit and promoting Demidov, the most creative player the Canadiens have, to the first power play unit.
Oh, boy. It's a bit of an up and down. It really is. The quote unquote good news doesn't stop there. As I mentioned at the top of the show, the injury list and the injury update keeps growing. Last week we mentioned that Caden Gooley would be out 4 to 6 weeks with a lower body injury. We had talked about the fact that the Canadiens would need to call up a defenseman for their Western road trip. Well, they did just that. Even though we thought Adam Engstrom deserved the call up from Laval. It was not he who earned the recall. Instead, the Canadians chose to recall Mark Delgado, who has not yet played yet.
Yeah, and I said that this last week that it would either be Engstrom or Delgado. Engstrom, of course, had a really good training camp, a late cut, but best to keep him in Laval, where he's playing. The Canadians need an extra defenseman in case something goes wrong when they're on the road trip. But if the player, the defenseman, is going to be sitting in the press box as your, you know, your extra, as your insurance, then why not make it a veteran like Delgado, 26 years old, who's not part of your future like Engstrom is. And that's exactly what's happened. Delgado has been a healthy scratch for each game of the road trip and will be again on Saturday night in Vancouver.
Now, Kirby Dach did travel with the team as they headed out west. He missed three games in total with his injury, but did return to the lineup on Thursday night against the Oilers, which was good to see that his absence was relatively short.
Great to see him in the game. My goodness, he didn't look very good. he had a bad night. Really tough. His line mate, Joe Valeno, equally tough night. It was, yeah, great to see him back in the lineup, but has not been effective yet.
Now, because Doc was out for a little while, the Canadians also decided that they needed to call up a different forward for the road trip. They returned kind of surprisingly to us, I think I can say. They returned Owen Beck to the Laval Rocket before they left on the trip and instead recalled Joshua Waugh. But he's actually only played in one game so far on the road trip.
Yeah, I thought Owen Beck was very good. He showed his speed, forechecking. He was physical, but wasn't getting a lot of minutes on that fourth line. And so why not rotate him out and get him back to Laval where he can get more important minutes and, mm-hmm. and playing that second line as he has been in Laval. And Joshua Waugh, you know, was disappointed to be cut so early in camp. And there was a bit of, let's be honest, there was a bit of pouting going on. And his agent said, well, we're going to have a discussion about this. And so no, why not bring him up and give him a bit of a reward and rotate some of those forwards through, but you know, Waugh played one game. It was against the Flames. It was less than 8 minutes of ice time, and really, he was not noticeable on the ice at all. He was healthy scratch against the Oilers. He'll be in the press box against Vancouver.
All right. Patrick Laine, however, did not travel with the team. And instead spent some time heading to New York to seek out a second opinion about his injury. And the Canadians just announced on Saturday morning that that second opinion led to basically immediate surgery and that he will be out of the lineup for at least 3 to 4 months.
Yeah, boy. That's tough.
That's tough for Laine. That's tough for the Canadians.
So he had surgery in New York City, in Manhattan, at the Lenox Hill Hospital. Dr. Mark Zolan was the doctor to repair a core muscle injury, a sports hernia, essentially. It's you know, there's lots of questions about should he have had surgery. Last year, we remember that he got injured in the preseason and, you know, sought out medical advice and was told he needed surgery. He went to a second opinion, told he needed surgery, went to a third doctor, and that doctor said, no, if you just sit out for a bit and rest, you should be fine. And that's what he did. That's what he chose to do. Good season, 20 goals, 15 on the power play, Canadians wouldn't have made the, as Kent Hughes said, the Canadians wouldn't have made the playoffs without his contribution. But had he had the surgery and rehabbed last season, could he have played a full season this season? Perhaps. But as it goes, it's going to be a 3 to 4 month wait until he can get back into the lineup.
Ugh, not good news. All right, well, for some good news, let's take a quick dip into the Habs prospect report.
It's time for the Rocket Report. The Rocket Sports Media Team is your premier source for information about the Laval Rocket, the AHL affiliate of the Montreal Canadiens, as well as Habs prospects playing in the CHL, NCAA, and leagues around the world.
Getting a twofer this week because each week we highlight a Montreal Canadiens prospect, but this time we are doing two Canadiens prospects because they both play for the same college hockey team, the University of Denver Pioneers. That's forward Sam Harris and goaltender Quentin Miller. As a reminder, Quentin Miller was a 2023 fourth round draft pick by the Canadiens. Sam Harris drafted that same year as well in round five. So they were actually selected just five positions away from each other. Quentin Miller was 128th overall. Sam Harris was 133rd overall. And they ended up going to the University of Denver to play for the Pioneers. And they both had kind of a special week.
The University of Denver, they're in the current rankings. They're seventh in the NCAA. Boston College, always strong, ranked ninth. The two of them met head-to-head on Friday night, and it was Denver defeating Boston College 7-3. It was Sam Harris got the game winner. He scored an unassisted goal, his third of the season for Denver in the second period. He's having a good season, 3 goals, 1 assist, 4 points in 5 games. Backstopping Denver was Quentin Miller. He picked up the win, just allowed 3 goals on 34 shots. His season so far, he has a record of 2 wins, 2-0-1 with a 130 goals against, a 948 save percentage. And he has 1 shutout already. And we remember we talked a lot about Quentin Miller. He was kind of the backup for the Remparts on their Memorial Cup run. And then he went to Rimouski, was traded. He went to the BCHL with Chilliwack. But he found his way, committed to the University of Denver for this season. And both are having good seasons so far.
Excellent. The Laval Rocket has continued their season this past week. You remember last week when we met here on Canadiens Connection, we told you about the first of 2 games between the Abbotsford Canucks and the Laval Rocket that was taking place last weekend at Place Belle. It was the home opener for Laval, and that Abbotsford, as a reminder, is the reigning Calder Cup champion. And things got testy between the two of them really quickly. If you were listening last week, you'll recall that we talked about the high number of fights and really chippy play. Josiah Didier getting tossed to the ice, his head hitting the ice without a helmet on. He left for the rest of the game. Yada yada yada. It was ugly. Well, that rematch took place last Saturday afternoon. And while, yes, the score and the outcome is important, Laval once again defeating Abbotsford 5-2. So they swept the weekend series, handing Abbotsford their first two losses of the season. As we had said on the podcast, that most likely the player who had been responsible for the Didier incident was probably going to have to pay the piper for that. I was honestly surprised that he did not get supplementary discipline. So he played on Saturday afternoon and immediately,
didn't take long at all.
55 seconds into the game, he was invited to dance and obviously obliged. He knows the code. He knew he had to. And that was probably one of the bigger highlights of that game.
Florian Jacka had taken care of business there.
Gee, is that a surprise? Mm-hmm. I don't think so. From there, the Laval Rocket is on a 3-game road trip this week, visiting Belleville, Rochester, and later today they're going to be playing Utica. Let's just say the road trip isn't going well. They had such a split the opening series in Manitoba, and then came home and, you know, pretty handily defeated the reigning Calder Cup champs in 2 games at home. But boy, Wednesday night they were visiting Belleville. I don't know what it is, and I probably say this every time they play in Belleville, but Laval, throughout its, you know, 7 or 8 year franchise history, has never really consistently ever performed well when they play on the road in Belleville. No matter how good or bad of a team Belleville has in any particular season, Laval doesn't seem to show up for those games, and they certainly didn't on Wednesday night. Belleville trouncing them 6-2. It was only Laurent Dauphin with a power play goal, and Adam Engstrom with his first goal of the season, who managed to get on the scoreboard. But Belleville just kind of ran away with this one. And
it's not like it's an intimidating building to play in or anything.
It's not.
There was maybe 100 people in the entire arena, the CAA arena.
Official attendance is 2,079.
Uh-huh.
Maybe they're counting, I don't know.
Yeah, tickets, the mice sold, and not the people that show up.
No, yeah, there were not 2,000 people there. Jake Fowler was in net for this, but I have to say I'm not blaming Jake Fowler for this loss. Even the first 3 or 4 goals against, I really couldn't. They're not goals that he's, you know, going to want back and that type of thing. Some of them were
Jake Fowler. You're on informal basis with
Jake
dear
Fowler.
Jacob.
I'm going Jake Fowler. You know,
all right,
Jacob Fowler, Mr. Fowler. Is that more formal?
Sure.
But getting goals from really sharp angle shots where defense was breaking down, or screens and so forth. So do not fear. There's not something to be upset about in terms of Mr. Fowler's performance there. And it was Kaapo Kähkönen who then started for Laval on Friday night when they visited the Rochester Americans, another not so pleasant building for Laval to play in. They can kind of go either way with how they perform when they play against the Amerks. Got blanked. They had plenty of offense last weekend. They can't seem to find any this week. 4-0 Rochester Amerks over the Laval Rocket.
Can't blame goaltending when you don't score yourself.
No, you can't. And the Amerks are one of those teams, again, that Laval, they don't like each other. And once again, I mean, there were, Laval had 52 penalty minutes. Rochester had 34 penalty minutes. I mean, we're looking at interference, roughing, cross-checking. There was a diving call, roughing, tripping, high-sticking, elbowing, unsportsmanlike conduct on Tyler Thorpe, unsportsmanlike conduct on Florian Jacki, unsportsmanlike conduct for a couple of Rochester guys. Simoneau ended the game with another unsportsmanlike. So it was not a pleasant thing. Laval was obviously frustrated that they were losing so badly. But really, as you just mentioned, they can't be mad at anybody but themselves. You have to get the puck into the back of the net if you think you're going to win a game. Devin Levi was backstopping the Rochester Amerks on that. And there you have it. So 2 consecutive losses. We'll see if Laval can right the ship in Utica later on this evening before they head back to Quebec. But through their 6 games played, they are an even 3-3 on the season. Those 6 points make them 3rd in the North, 6th overall in the AHL. And then they'll play at home this coming week. Lehigh Valley Phantoms coming to visit Place Belle on a Wednesday night. And those same Rochester Americans coming into town on Friday. And just a quick mention, the Trois-Rivières Lions are undefeated. They won their 2nd game of the season against the Adirondack Phantoms, beating them 3-1. So that, despite the fact that they're undefeated and they only have 4 points because they've only played 2 games. So they're 2nd in the North Division, 10th overall in the ECHL. And We'll see if the defending Kelly Cup champs can keep it going.
Just a note there, Riley Kidney, prospect for the Canadians, was briefly down with the Lions, but back with Rocket.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, so good for him back up in the AHL. Just a couple of quick hockey notes for you. The NHL, I don't know how they managed to make anything around the Olympics into such a circus, but they've done it again. Covering, you know, the shiny, hey, look over here. We've announced that the New York Islanders are going to host the 2027 NHL All-Star Weekend at UBS Arena. Well, that's kind of because they just yanked the event that the Islanders were supposed to host in February, in February, right out from under them. And Rick, it's been a little while since the Islanders have hosted an All-Star game.
Well, I was so surprised to see this. The Islanders haven't hosted an All-Star game since 1983.
Yeah.
And the MVP on that night was Wayne Gretzky. So.
All right. Well, I mean, so the Islanders were supposed to host an Olympic send-off event, kind of a fun, I don't know, all-star game kind of like event prior to the Olympics, where the athletes would come and play in an event and that type of thing. Well, the NHL has decided that they would rather have the athletes all go home and prepare for the travel to Milan and kind of start focusing on their Olympic performances. So they've canceled the send-off event. And so they needed to appease the New York Islanders by giving them another event post-haste. So that's how that happened. Also, the Athletic have their power rankings out for this week. The Canadians did not maintain their position from last week.
They dropped a spot, 8th last week, down to 9th. It said that their comment, they picked one guy from each team that was dubbed their guy. It couldn't be a superstar of the team. It was your hardworking guy who's key to this team's success. They picked Caden Gooley from the Canadians and said that the Habs could have used Caden Gooley against Edmonton, and not only because from the area, but it's clear that Caden Gooley is missed. He's mm-hmm. missed. There's not much happening in the physical department by the Canadiens' defense, and that includes, surprisingly so, Arber Jacki, whose his ice time is a cut. You know, he's getting in the neighborhood of 8 minutes a game, but when you see him go through a game and not register a hit, that's a bit of a surprise. So they could use Caden Gooley's physicality, his stay-at-home ability, his defensive ability in his own zone, and the Canadians are hurting a bit, particularly on the road and particularly against Edmonton the other night.
We'll see how they do against Vancouver later tonight. All right, we're going to take our first break here on the Canadians Connection podcast. Still to come, we have our big topic coming up in our next segment titled Montembeau's Struggles and Dobesh's Surge, What It Means for the Habs Net. We are going to get into it. Is it controversial? Well, that's up to you. We'll see where you fall on this side of the, on what side of the discussion you fall. But you're going to have to stick around to listen to it. So stay with us. You are listening to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
Football is back, and so is your shot at big wins. With DraftKings Pick 6, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL, your game day instincts can score you real money fast. Here's the play. Just pick more or less on two or more player stats, from breakout rookies to elite QBs, and unlock the upside every snap brings. The better your calls, the bigger your payout. And here's the kickoff bonus. New DraftKings customers get $50 in bonus picks with just a $5 entry on your first pick set. This season, play your player instincts. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code THPN. That's code THPN. Play just $5 get $50 in Pick 6 bonus picks. Make the call. Ride the upside. In partnership with DraftKings Pick 6, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable Pick 6 bonus picks that expire in 14 days. Limited time offer. See terms at picksix.draftkings.com/promos. And welcome back to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio. Once again, my name is Amy Johnson. Follow me over on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. If you like, my handle over there is at Flyers Rule. If you don't follow me, no hard feelings. That's all right. But you should follow Rick Stevens, my wonderful co-host and our president and founder here at Rocket Sports, because his account is our main account, which not only gets you links to the podcast, but also our written content over at hockeyhotstove.com. It also gets you links to our video content and in general, updates throughout the week on the Habs and the Laval Rocket, the 12 Riviere Lions, so on and so forth. So make sure you're following him. The handle over there at Rocket Sports. Text us anytime. If you've got something to say, if you have an opinion, if you have a question, if you have a statement you'd like to make, answering a Canadians Connection question of the week, you text us at 5853-ROCKET. Again, that's 5853-ROCKET. And don't forget to hit subscribe if you haven't subscribed to the podcast, because we don't want you to ever miss an episode. So, okay, as we discussed, you know, the Canadians have a winning record already through their first nine games played. And that's an important point to make. Marty St. Louis in training camp said, you know, hey, they got to have a better start than they did last year. And they have done that so far. It's not been as painful. In fact, they're, you know, leading what is a very competitive Atlantic division. So that, I think, could be a little mini check in the win column for them. Now that success has come in part at the hands of Lane Hutson, who, you know, we talked a couple of weeks ago about how the undecidedness and uncertainty of his contract situation almost seemed to be affecting him, that he wasn't quite playing like the Lane Hutson we were used to seeing. And was it negotiations? Was it sophomore slump issues? What was going on? Well, I think we had the answer, because once he signed that shiny new contract, Lane Hutson has absolutely returned to looking like the same absolutely dynamic player who won a Calder Trophy last year. He's just been absolutely phenomenal. In fact, if you head over to the NHL statistics page, Hutson is in second place for points by defenseman overall for the league, just sitting right behind Cale Makar. Like, that's that's a pretty good place to be for young Lane Hutson and for the Canadians as well. Stick around on that page a little longer and you might actually find some surprises. Oliver Kapanen, currently leading all rookies in the NHL in goal scoring with 4 goals.
You had that on your bingo card, right?
Probably. Didn't you? Didn't everybody? Really? Ivan Demidov tied for first in assists by rookies with 5. So the young guns are really propelling things right now in the early stages.
And listen, it was Kapanen and Demidov. You know, Demidov started out with Patrick Laine, and quickly moved to play with Kapanen and Alex Newhook, and that was kind of a I don't know how much thought was behind it, whether we have these three players who need line mates and put them together, or whether it was more strategic than that. But they have formed, the three of them, one of the Canadians' most effective lines so far this season. And it's Kapanen, and it's staying on that page. I'm looking at it right now. It's Kapanen and Demidov who are tied for third in rookie points. They each have 6 points. And you stay on that page, and it has on the main page, it has all of the leaders. So there's goal scoring and assists for the forwards and defensemen, rookies. And then the other category is goaltenders. And this is perhaps the most surprising and the most eye-opening, that amongst all NHL goaltenders, Jakub Dobish leads the league, the NHL, in 2 categories, in goals against average at 147 and save percentage at 950. That's twice now that he's started the season really strong. Mm-hmm. If you look you have to contrast his partner in the goalie tandem for the Canadiens, Sam Montembeau. He's sitting at the bottom of all goaltenders in the league when you look at those who've made at least 4 starts. Sam Montembeau has a record of 2-3-0 in 5 starts, 382 goals against, and an 842 save percentage. That's worst in the league. The 2 goaltenders of the Montreal Canadiens are at opposite ends of the spectrum when it comes to the goalie stats.
So what does this mean going forward? I mean, we're about to watch them play game 10 tonight. We're very early in the season, and already this is a valid and legitimate question that fans are asking, that the media are starting to ask, that pundits are starting to ask, and you can absolutely bet internal management and coaching have to be asking this question. What does this mean going forward? So we like happy things. So let's start first with the feel good story of Jakub Dobish.
So he has a perfect record, 4-0-0,
to start the season.
4 wins to start the season in 4 starts, 147 goals against, 950 save percentage, as I said earlier. And you have to, as I said, last season he began this with 5 straight wins. And just a reminder, you may have forgotten that those wins last season, they came against the Florida Panthers. That was a 4-0 shutout against the eventual Stanley Cup winner. The Colorado Avalanche, the Washington Capitals, who were best in the East, who the Canadiens met in the playoffs, the Dallas Stars, and perhaps the only middling team
The
New York Rangers. But against a murderer's row of NHL teams, Dobish was 5-0 to start the season last year.
And he's 4-0 to start this year.
So he went on last season, 7-4-3 record. He got the only win the Canadiens would get in the playoffs against the Capitals. And he always, we remarked about this a lot last season. Yeah, I just gave you an example of the kind of matchups he was getting. He always got the toughest matchup. Sam Montembeau always got the easiest matchup or the home matchup. And it was Dobish who was playing against the toughest teams and would be on the back half of the back-to-back games last season.
Despite all of that, and let's also say, didn't get much playing time. I mean, his record last season was 7-4-3. That's not a lot of games in an 82-game season. We know that they overplayed Montembeau last year excessively. I'm glad to see that trend seems to be quickly reversing this year, but we'll get to that in a moment. This year, he came into training camp and he picked up right where he left off. He looked splendid in training camp. Was 2-0 in his preseason starts, and he's just been absolutely brilliant in every start that he's had in the regular season. And I will say, because I can already hear I can hear the couple of grumbles already. So let me just address it. Saying Jakub Dobiš is brilliant in these starts that he's had does not ignore the fact that sometimes Jakub Dobiš is a little adventurous in his crease. And so, yes, there are sometimes some, like, you know, very entertaining moments with Jakub Dobiš in his crease. He likes to play the puck. He leaves the crease quite a bit and can make things a little nail-bitey here and there. That aside, his technical ability and the fact that he is getting wins and he is making big saves, he has been standout so far this season.
He has been. And yeah, his style maybe can be called unorthodox, but mm-hmm. it's not random. It's not wild. It's not, he's a big goaltender. He uses his size. He generally is square to the net and to the shooter and in front of the net and makes the shooter hit him. And he's very good at swallowing up to ensure the puck, to ensure there's no rebounds. The other thing that you got to like about Dobiš is that he instills confidence in his teammates. He's mm-hmm. He's got a quirky personality. Nothing seems to bother him. He's very confident. He's very calm. He doesn't get too low. He doesn't get too high. And even this week, when he was asked about, you know, his good start, he's just kind of taking things in stride. His quote was brilliant. He said, "We're a good team." Quote, "We're a good team. I feel like we're going to win a lot of games. It's just a normal day for us. We win. That's what we do here," end quote. Don't make too big of a deal of it. We've got a lot of talent on the team. We're going to win games, and that's what we're supposed to do. You know, none of the spiking of the ball too early. And part of that is because he has such a strong mental game. He works with Pete Fry, who dubs himself as the goalie mindset guy, and works on visualizing techniques and managing his emotions and projecting confidence. And he has been tremendous. Now, there's folks out there that say, he hasn't. You can't promote him to the number one. You can't give him more games because he's going to collapse. He hasn't played that many games. Well, they forget that, you know, he's had a pretty heavy workload, you know, since way back to when he was in the USHL. And I'm not comparing the USHL to the NHL, but 47 games in the regular season. The USHL, for his two games at Ohio State, he played, he started 75 games. His rookie season for the Laval Rocket, remember, he was just thrown into the fire,
mm-hmm.
51 starts, and ended up with a 906 save percentage.
And they play less games in the NHL.
Yeah, 51 games. And you can say, oh, well, the AHL isn't the NHL. Well, you know, in some ways, the AHL is not an easy league to play goal in because mm-hmm. there's a whole lot of loose pucks, turnovers, broken plays that you get shots in that league that you're not going to get from all over the place in the NHL. Now, the releases are quicker, the play is quicker in the NHL, and so you have to adjust to that. But he's done so quite well. One more just comment with respect to Jakub Dobiš. The Montreal Canadiens expect to send a goaltender to the Winter Olympics in Milan. They expect to send a goaltender there, and we know that Sam Montembeau is essentially considered or is under consideration for the third spot, the third goaltending spot for Team Canada. But could Jakub Dobiš go as well for Team Czechia? Lukas Dostal is probably going to be there, Karol Vomelka, but could Dobish steal a spot on the Olympic team for Czechia with if his good play continues? That would be something.
It would be absolutely remarkable. And let's start the petition now. Let's go, Team Czechia. Hope you're paying attention.
I hope they are.
Yeah. I think they are. So yes, Jakub Dobish obviously making the case, but has been making the case for quite some time. It's just that his campaign's getting a little louder, and I think more people are hearing it because the Canadians' de facto starter, Sam Antonbeau, is unfortunately struggling. There's just no hiding from it anymore. You know, it used to be last season and even the season prior to that, it used to be a matter of if you were criticizing Sam Antonbeau, you were just a Antonbeau hater. You just didn't like Sam Antonbeau for whatever reason. Or if you offered opinions that Sam Antonbeau was not the stronger netminder, that Sam Antonbeau had weaknesses in his game that you could list, that you would get pushback from plenty of folks about that, because Sam Antonbeau is a favorite in Montreal. But all of those things are starting to slip away because the noise around Sam Antonbeau's obvious struggles is getting louder. He is, as Rick mentioned a few moments ago, he's 2-3 to start the season. Reminder again, 382 goals against and an 842 save percentage, which is the worst save percentage in the league. Among, as Rick said, among goaltenders who have made at least four starts, he's had five starts. That's not good enough for your backup goaltender, much less for your starter. And so Rick, we did this with Dobish. So let's walk back and remind people about the recent history of Sam Antonbeau. You had started with, you know, how well Dobish did last year, but talked about his playoff performance, and you know, he won the only game that the Canadians would win in the playoffs against the Capitals. But there was a reason that it wasn't Sam Antonbeau playing very much in the playoffs.
Well, Montembeau left the playoffs with an injury, presumed to be a groin injury. So, you know, and you never, as the season ended and it wasn't followed up. How was he? Did he just need rest? Did he need treatment? What did he need? Montembeau was asked by one of the reporters this week about his groin injury, and Sam said it hasn't bothered him at all, not at all.
Okay, I mean that's good.
Which is good, yeah. But he's not blaming, he's not blaming his play on the fact that it's a carryover injury. Mm-hmm. It just appears that he wasn't ready for the season to start. You know, maybe a lack of conditioning, maybe because he was resting his injury, he didn't go through the same preparation. He was not good in the preseason. And you gave the numbers. He's been terrible. And it's not just the statistics, it's the eye test. Mm-hmm. He's giving up bad goals, weak goals, deflating type goals. From a distance, some partially screened, some not. Lots of low danger shots getting through Sam Montembeau, and he looks discouraged when they go through him. We saw him, you know, there was a deflection, a kind of a slow deflection that the puck just changed directions, but trickled by, and you could see him watch the puck slowly go by him all the way into the net. And he was like a deer in the headlights, just frozen watching this with this terror, you know.
Just watching it happen like there wasn't anything you could do to stop it.
In slow motion almost. You know, he's never been a goalie who fights through screens. He's kind of like, if I'm screened, it's not my fault. He's not taking away the bottom of the net. His glove hand has been weak. And when you ask Sam, what is the problem? He says, that he feels like he's playing small in the net. He's not a small goaltender, mm-mm, but, he's playing small in the net. There's clearly some bad positioning there. He's not being square to the shooter. He talks about his stance. It's all messed up. His angles are all wrong. He feels like he's holding his glove too closely to his body. There's lots of things. And fortunately, the Canadians have a bit of practice time this week prior to the Vancouver game, prior to the Seattle game. He's working with goalie coach Eric Raymond. But, you know, lots of people saying his confidence is messed up. But it's not that. It's his mechanics, his fundamental goaltending, you know, techniques are just shot. Mm-hmm. And he's really, really struggling right now.
And as you said, you know, yeah, it's confidence is there. But if he's saying that, you know, he's in the wrong stance, if he feels like he's playing too small, if he feels like his glove is pulled in too close to his torso, that's not confidence. That's, for some reason, that muscle memory of your positioning has left you in some degree for some reason. And you've got to get that back.
And it's not workload either. Dobish has taken half of the starts. And look against Edmonton, a powerhouse offensive team like Edmonton. The Canadians did really well. They'd given up 9 shots in the first 30 minutes of the game, the first period and a half of the game. By the 11th shot, Montembeau had given up 3 goals. 3 goals on 11 shots. He isn't earning his ice time right now.
And, you know, there are times if you've been a longtime listener of the Canadians Connection podcast, we try to be very objective in our analysis and our criticism and our praise, whether it's players, whether it's coaches, whether it's the media. And one of our big criticisms for the media is in Montreal has been that when they get their favorites, they seem to just put the blinders on to weaknesses or criticism of those particular players, and they go overboard in heaping on praise, like they're trying to make up for the shortcomings. And maybe if we just praise them an awful lot, everybody will forget the fact that they were terrible in the last game or whatever it was. And that has happened over the course of definitely the past year. But that has happened with Sam Montembeau. And so I don't think, and this isn't Montembeau specific, in general, I think when the media does that for any player, I don't think it's not helpful to the player. It's really not. And it's not helpful to the fans either. You want fans to be educated, knowledgeable, and informed, like about the team and the players they're supporting, not riding on false hope.
There's an article from Jonathan Bernier about how unlucky he's been. There's an article from Matthias Brune that says, because he's from Quebec, we need to sympathize with him. And we have to remember that it was painful for him to hold the fort during the reconstruction of the team. You don't have to do any of those things. The team has to win games, mm-hmm, and has to put the goaltender in the crease that's going to have the best chance of doing that. He's always been overpraised. He was a mediocre goaltender, picked up on waivers. He's always been a placeholder. And I said, don't fall in love with the placeholders. At some point, there's going to be a transition. And you know, maybe many were expecting the transition to be from Montembeau to Jacob Fowler, and this is just jarring for them that this transition is coming a little earlier, and it's to the goaltender that they didn't expect. Mm-hmm. But right now, you know, Sam Montembeau, everybody has anointed him with that number one goaltender tag, but he hasn't earned it. You look at Pierre Maguire, and say what you will about Pierre Maguire and his analysis, but he says that Montembeau isn't even the second best goaltender in the organization this season.
Mic drop?
Yeah. Marty St. Louis, and I don't know who he considers would be ahead of Montembeau besides Dobish. But Marty St. Louis, for a glimpse into his thoughts, he said that the Canadians will need three goaltenders this season. So who's that third one going to be? Who's the call-up going to be, and how are they going to be involved? And how's that going to affect Montembeau? Montembeau's not going to be put on waivers, but does he need a little bit of a conditioning stint in Laval? Because, you know, he didn't have he didn't either commit to a full conditioning program over the summer or wasn't able to, limited by his injury. That's yet to be seen. But I think right now all we can say is all cards are on the table. And mm-hmm. and you know, yes, of course, one of the options is Montembeau finding his game again and going on a bit of a streak. But you can't deny that Jakub Dobish has earned every bit of the time in the crease and the starts that he's getting.
And so that is the question. I know you and I kind of talked about this off the air this week as we were discussing how this has been unfolding over the course of these last couple of weeks, and saying, yeah, okay, well, you know, particularly this Pierre Maguire comment about how Montembeau isn't even the second best goaltender in the organization. So, you know, Jake Fowler, as you correctly said, leave Jake Fowler. Sorry, I keep calling him Jake Fowler. I don't know why. I don't know how that started.
Really Jacob palsy Fowler. With Jacob
yeah,
Fowler.
I'm not really. I don't know. I think maybe because there's a Jake Evans. And okay. So
Jake
just,
Allen.
And Jake Allen. And yeah. So I'm just used to not, there's Jakes on the Habs team. Not Jacobs. But that leave Jacob Fowler where he is in Laval. He needs the starts and that type of thing. And we had discussed how, but maybe that's the reason that there is a cap. Yes, there needed to be a strong veteran for Jacob Fowler to learn from and be mentored by in Laval. Kaapo Kähkönen fits that, but he has NHL experience. So he could easily back up to Jakub Dobish in the NHL for a little while if needed.
A few games, the length of a conditioning stint. Yeah.
Put all of your torches and pitchforks down, all of you. Take a deep breath with us. We're not saying that's going to happen. Not saying that's a permanent thing.
No.
But these are the, you have to spitball this stuff because it can't keep going on like it's going on right now. As we've seen, so Jakub Dobish is slated to get the start in Vancouver on Saturday night. So that means in a four-game week, Dobish is getting three of the four starts. That is a huge shift in strategy for the Montreal Canadiens.
And a huge shift maybe in the mind of the coaching staff. We remember Marty St. Louis, when asked how many starts Jakub Dobish would get, said, well, we have 17 back-to-backs, so 17, at least 17 starts. And whether he's joking or not, the Canadians don't have a another back-to-back, I think, until the end of November. I'll check the schedule, but something like that. So is now a good time, or in the next week or so, a good time to make that... Let Montembeau, regain his composure in Laval. It's a question, and we'd love to know what you think about it.
We would, and you know, I hope Sam Montembeau can regain some of his confidence and find those elements of his game that seem to be missing and lacking right now. I really do. And as you suggested, maybe he didn't come to camp completely prepared, whether that was intentional or not, or his something that was in his control or not is another thing.
Well, he wasn't feeling pushed in the summer. He had the number one goaltender tag for the Montreal Canadiens locked up, and he was pretty sure that he was going to the Olympics. So,
right. So I think now, if anything, Sam Montembeault is going to quickly realize that everyone is replaceable and that his job isn't necessarily guaranteed. Let's remind you, and we're not even talking about, you know, Jakub Dobeš taking over his spot in net, or, you know, the future of Jacob Fowler, the presence of Kaapo Kähkönen, but the Canadians have drafted 7 goaltenders in the 4 drafts since 2022. So in the system and coming, and sorry, Sam, but they're coming for your job. Jacob Fowler, Arseniy Radkov, Alexis Cornoyer, Mikus Vatsvanax, Quentin Miller, Yevgeny Volokhin, and Emmett Crotto. Now, no, all 7 of those guys are not going to become NHL caliber goaltenders, but there is a good amount of them that have high potential.
And the Canadians, obviously, they've invested draft picks in goaltenders. They want to have, laying their bets. They want to have more bets down. Mm-hmm. And thinking about the future. We've talked about, well, Jacob Fowler, of course, but we've mentioned a number of these. Quentin Miller, we just talked about earlier. Volokhin has a possibility. Radkov, it could be very interesting what mm-hmm. happens over the next few years. There's going to be a transition, but the transitions don't always happen when you plan them to happen. It's really up to the individuals, and it's Jakub Dobeš who has grabbed that mantle and ran with it, and is the Canadiens' number one goaltender right now.
Right now. So that brings us to the Canadiens Connection question of the week. I said at the top of the show, this topic is going to be polarizing for fans. Some people are going to call this controversial. People are going to be very opinionated about this, because most Habs fans feel very strongly one way or another about, quote unquote, their goaltender that they support. And so the question for all of you this week, and bring the honesty, bring the passion about this: which Habs goaltender gives you more confidence right now, and why? Be honest. If it's Sam Montembeault, tell us, and tell us why. If it's Jakub Dobeš, tell us why you feel more confident with Dobeš right now as well. Which Habs goaltender gives you more confidence right now, and why? This could be it's early in the season, but this is a very important piece of the puzzle, setting the stage for what the rest of the team can accomplish together for the remainder of this season. So let us know your answer. Which Habs goaltender gives you more confidence right now, and why? You can text us at the Rocket Sports text line, 5853-ROCKET, 5853-ROCKET. You can drop a comment on our YouTube channel. That's a great place to leave a comment. You'll find our YouTube channel just by heading over to insidethecanadians.com. You can also hit us up on social media. Send us a reply or a DM at Habs Connection on X, on Facebook, or on Instagram. We want to hear from you. We imagine that we're going to hear some pretty interesting replies to this one. Can't wait to read them out to you next week. Which is what we're going to do right after we take one more break here on the show. We've got some great response to last week's question of the week that we're going to bring to you. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Canadiens Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
Football is back, and so is your shot at big wins. With DraftKings Pick 6, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL, your game day instincts can score you real money fast. Here's the play. Just pick more or less on two or more player stats, from breakout rookies to elite QBs, and unlock the upside every snap brings. The better your calls, the bigger your payout. And here's the kickoff bonus. New DraftKings customers get $50 in bonus picks with just a $5 entry on your first pick set. This season, play your player instincts. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code THPN. That's code THPN. Play just $5, get $50 in Pick 6 bonus picks. Make the call. Ride the upside. In partnership with DraftKings Pick 6, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. 1 per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable Pick 6 bonus picks that expire in 14 days. Limited time offer. See terms at picksix.draftkings.com/promos. And welcome back to episode 371 of the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast platform if you haven't done so already. Subscribe to the YouTube channel over at InsideTheCanadians.com. Always be sure you're checking up on our written content over at HockeyHotStove.com. You can also get right to our page at HabsHotStove.com. It takes you to the same place. Jump into the fan forums in the Montreal Canadiens community over on Hockey Hot Stove as well. There are so many people who love to chat it up over there. They like to argue. They like to cheer. They like to debate. It's pretty fun. Make sure you get in on that as well. Meet some Habs, some fellow Habs friends. And we always have a reliable place to have a chat over there on the Habs forum at HockeyHotStove.com. Once again, don't forget to send us your answer to this week's Canadians Connection question of the week. Which Habs goaltender gives you more confidence right now and why? We always ask you to show your work. We always ask you to tell us why.
It's Gator.
Gator?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Jake. Jake to you. Jacob Fowler's nickname is Gator. You can call him Gator. Or really? Jake. Or Jacob, whatever you wish.
I'll pull one from the hat.
Okay.
We'll see. Sorry, Jacob Feller. I'll just call you Mr. Feller from now on. Mr. Feller. It's kind of like the Matrix, like, you know, Mr. Oh, that. Never mind. I'm just going to go on a tangent. Last week's Canadians Connection question of the week was, which Canadians prospect will be the most important addition to solidifying Montreal's core? This was, if you remember, last week's big topic was talking about the Lane Hutson contract and how the Canadiens' core is now locked in with Hutson contract, Slavkovsky's contract, Demidov's there, Suzuki's locked up for a long time, Caulfield's locked up for a long time. And so we asked, which Canadiens' prospect will be the most important addition to solidifying Montreal's core? Would it be Michael Hage, David Reinbacher, or Jacob Feller? And we had a reply on YouTube from our friend at FrankHuber9912, who says Feller, because quality, and see, he plays it safe. He just says Feller. Maybe that's what I ought to just do, just Feller.
All right.
He says Feller because quality goaltending is hard to find and goaltenders have a disproportionate impact on the outcome of a game.
Tell us something we don't know.
I like that. Yeah. That's just the first part of his reply, though, because Frank always comes up with something really abstract, which we like, his level of commitment to creativity. He says, this week's prediction, upon disembarking in Edmonton, Dobesh ignites partisan fervor across the prairies when he proclaims that the Beatles are indeed greater than McJesus. I don't know where he comes up with these things,
okay,
but keep them coming. Uh-huh. I'm sure they're resonating with someone who's listening. So thank you, Frank, for that very unique reply.
Another very unique reply. And this was our dear friend Chris G, at ChrisHabs360 on X. Chris got a shout out from Steve Dangle boys. Yeah, for
thanks
his translations.
To Mike, thanks to Mike Raschel for pointing that out for us. Yeah.
But Chris is an avid follower of the Trois Rivières Lions and puts out game scores and final scores. And Mike Klein replied to Chris G and to Rocket Sports saying that the Lions, the Trois Rivières Lions, are Monty's next team.
Ouch.
Yeah, he's on a side. He's picked a side. I think he's definitely picked a side there, as you said earlier. It's kind of polarizing.
Might be a stretch that he's going to wind up in the ECHL, but
he's making a point.
Duly noted. Yeah. Yes, duly heard. Oh, I can't wait. I cannot wait to hear the responses to this week. Boy, let me tell you. The Habs only have two games before we all meet again next Saturday. Maybe that's a good thing after this four-game stretch that they went on. Dobesh slated to start in Vancouver on Saturday night. Are we loving the schedule for this Western swing? The Calgary game started at 8:30 Eastern time. That's not terrible. The Edmonton game started at 9 o'clock Eastern. Still not terrible. The Vancouver game on Saturday night starts at 7 o'clock Eastern. It's a normal start time for all of us on the East Coast.
4 o'clock local.
Uh-huh. Yeah, 4 o'clock out in Vancouver. That's fine. It's just Tuesday night's game in Seattle that is the 10:30 p.m. Eastern time slog of a start time. So I think fans lucked out with this road trip this time. I'm sure we're going to pay dividends the next time they do it, but not too bad this time. So in Vancouver Saturday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, in Seattle Tuesday night, 10:30 p.m. Eastern start time. And then we will be back next Saturday to ring in November 1st for our next episode of the Canadians Connection podcast. Bring your candy bowls. You'll need to be divvying up your Halloween hauls here on the show, and we will get you all caught up with the latest that has happened throughout this coming week. In the meantime, happy Halloween to all of you. If you're handing out candy, if you're taking your kids out trick-or-treating, or if you're dressing up and heading out yourself, going to a party, just be safe, but have fun. Enjoy happy Halloween and enjoy the hockey this week. Enjoy the World Series. And we'll see you again next Saturday for another great episode of the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
Click subscribe so you never miss an episode of Canadians Connection. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Rocket Sports.